So today I'd like to teach on the four types of healing in God's Word. The four types of healing in God's Word. Take your Bibles and look at John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. This verse, to me, is pleasantly disturbing. It disturbs me in a pleasant way. John 14 and in verse 12. Now, you know, sometimes we say the greatest secret in the world today is that the Bible is the revealed word and will of God. So the Bible is the revealed word and will of God. So that's pretty cool. It's God's word and it's God's will. Now that's really easy to say, but if it really is God's word and God's will, then when we look at the Bible, it's like God speaking to our brain cells. It's like it's his word. So sometimes we run across some of these like big time verses, or maybe this is just a big time verse for me. I don't know. And it like just like slams you against the head and go, man, this is a good one. Now let's look at this. Remember, the Bible is God's word. Okay. Now, if it isn't, then really you've wasted your time here. I mean, the refreshments are good. Maybe you got a couple hugs and kisses. But really, if the Bible isn't God's word, then really, then what we taught to you is, you know, it's a nice thing, had a couple laughs. But we believe that the Bible is true. John 14, verse 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," if you believe on him, raise your hand. Thank you. Gina, put your hand. Never mind. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." So if you just put your hand up, you volunteered for some works that he does. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, that verse is pleasantly disturbing. In a way, because then if that really means what it says and says what it means, that means that there's healing available in the world. That means that people who are sick can be healed. Why? Because Jesus Christ healed people. And it says here that people who follow him or believe in him, rather, can do those works. And then it, you know, if we believe in it, that means me as a born-again believer, or us as born-again believers, we have God's power. And if we have God's power, then that means we can do his works. So then the question remains, well, why in Christianity today there's not as many miracles and healings as what there really could be? So this is pleasantly disturbing because it's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to all of us if this really is God's word. Then think about the power that we have. If Jesus Christ isn't a liar, I don't think. I mean, we don't believe that. I didn't hear that in any of the teachings today, did you? So then if that's really the truth, then that's kind of a challenge for us to wake up and to be able to, man, this is bigger. Oh, the more abundant life. This is more than having my needs met. This is more than having a job. This is, you know, this is big time. And so many people walk around and they think about, oh, I'm a bad Christian. I sinned yesterday. God will never forgive me. Or I left the toilet seat up. Or I did something. I'm such a bad person. You know, if that's what Christianity is about, then this verse here is very far away from that. Because we'll never manifest what this verse says if that's where our heads are at. Because that stuff there is just, that's, you know, you got to get past first base. And we can't get past that. We're never going to get to, gee, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we can do the works that Christ did. It's much bigger than the flowers on the altar, or, you know, this little thing or that. You know, God heals in many ways. I didn't say the Lord works in mysterious ways, by the way. I don't know that that's in the Bible, is it? I don't think so. God heals in many ways. He sent his word and what? When we believe 1 Peter 2:24, we get healed. When we receive communion and we believe what it says, we can be healed. And we can also be healed by receiving the, or being able to be ministered to, and receiving healing via the manifestations. Prayer is a great thing too. People get healed by prayer. Jerry Carr is a great example of that. Take a look with me, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So there's different types of healing in the scriptures, and there might be others. But today we're going to look at just healing via the manifestation of the gifts of healing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. 4 to 1, everybody have it? 4 to 1, or for one prophet is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So it's an operation of the power of God. It's an operation of the Spirit that we have, and it's by revelation. We would do this if God directs us in that way. For example, if I go home and I have a headache, and I say to Gina, let's pray for my headache. So she might, we'll hold hands together and we would pray. That's not necessarily the operation of the manifestation. That's two people praying. And that's a great idea, isn't it, to pray. However, maybe during that prayer, there could be guidance or something to operate the manifestation of the Spirit, which is the power of God to bring to pass healing in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, in the history of Christianity today, you know, so, you know, I could go to somebody, and if I was, you know, sick, and I could go to somebody and I could get prayed for or ministered to. Maybe somebody would pray for me, or maybe somebody would do that, operate the manifestation of healing, and that would be by revelation. In Christianity today, there isn't a lot of healings. One reason is, like Michael talked about, people believe that God makes you sick. If I believe that God makes me sick, you know, then it's a little difficult to believe that he wants to heal me. Or if I believe that God took my father, then maybe I'm just praying he's not going to take me. So there's wrong teaching. Another thing that happens is we trust medicine and science. Well, science says this. Or medicine says this. And, you know, I like doctors and I go to doctors, so I have no problem with doctors. But, you know, by science, is there God? By science, is there the resurrection of the dead? No. So, you know, science and medicine is great. But God supersedes that. And sometimes we get caught up and, well, I can just take the pill, or I can just do that, or I'll just go see this, or I'll just... And we think about science and medicine first instead of endeavoring to believe God's word or going to God. And according to the Bible, that's ass backward. Did you translate that, Milagros? It is. Now, let me tell you something. God is... You don't need an HMO when you go to God. You don't need to wait in the doctor's office. You don't need a copay either. But what happens is we need to believe. And really, we need to believe. Now, if we go to God and we, then maybe after that, we go to somebody to pray for us or minister to us, you know, we go to the doctor and we do all these things. But why not ask God to heal us? Why not go and get prayed for or ministered to? That's really what it is in the Bible. You know, look at Hebrews chapter 7. Another reason why there's not as much healing today is because there's a lack of accurate teaching on the scriptures. And we need to teach more to all of us along these lines. There needs to be more teaching, more accurate knowledge. God heals. You know, there was maybe 2.5 million children of Israel that left Egypt and they were in the desert. Did they have hospitals in the desert? No. Yet there was not one feeble knee among them. God heals. God heals. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Is God bigger than cancer? If we believe that God put the stars in the sky and he made the earth and all these things, do you think he could heal us? Especially in his word, he says that he will. So we need to take God at his word. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So, if God can save to the uttermost, he can heal to the uttermost. Now, maybe some of us have things that we haven't been healed of yet. So, that's okay. Life goes on. And if we get healed, great. But don't spend your time in your life condemning yourself because you haven't received healing. Because let me tell you, condemnation sure doesn't help us get healed, does it? In fact, it kind of takes us in the opposite direction. So, you know, we need to love ourselves. I kind of read in the Bible that the flesh is weak. Is that what you read also? Hey, the flesh is weak. Folks are folks. That's why we have a Savior. So, you know, we're people. But God is able. God is very able. So today, in a very simple way, I thought we'd look at 4 different types of healing in the Bible. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. We're okay so far? The first type of healing in the Bible is restoration. Restoration is like Restoration Hardware. Do you like that store? Restoration. Who's been to Restoration Hardware? What happens in Restoration Hardware? You have a house that needs some restoring. So you go to Restoration Hardware, you spend a lot of money in there, and then you have some stuff to restore your house. Something that was really good at one time got a little older, and then it needed to be restored. So healing sometimes is a restoration. All right? So let's look at Mark chapter 16 and in verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And have you guys ever asked God for a sign? Give me a sign. Okay. Sometimes people go, okay, God, if you're really there, I want to drive through the next 5 traffic lights. And if they're all green, then I'll know you're alive. See, you're making a deal with God, but he never signed the contract. So you cut him a deal, but he never agreed to that anyway. So instead of like making up some kind of false contract that you expect him to sign, maybe we ought to see what he says is a sign. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So it's a sign. In my name shall they cast out devils. So if there's devils to cast out, there must be devils. And that's a sign. They will speak with what? So if you came here for the first time today and you heard speaking in tongues, then that's a sign. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. If you recover from something, by definition, it must have been okay to begin with, and then you recover. So a recovery is a restoration, okay? And I know there's a lot more to that verse there, but this is just a little introduction. Look at Mark chapter 3. You know, this is in the Bible. This is God's word. Remember, we all like started off, the Bible is the revealed word and will of God, and we seem to believe that. Well, then fine. That's the word. So then we need to believe it. Mark chapter 3. Mark 3. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 and in verse 1. And he, Jesus Christ, entered into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a what? If you have a withered hand, that's a need, isn't it? So, I think he got a withered hand because he got bit by a German shepherd. Or maybe he had an accident with a street meat cart in New York City. Do you think so? Johnny, what do you think? Never mind. So, if the Bible doesn't say, do we have a right to put our own little idea in there? No, just read it what it says. He had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. We read something similar before, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had a withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked around about them with what? Can you guys show me a verse in the Bible that would justify the saying of anger isn't sin sometimes? That's a good one. How about this verse right here? Mark 3:5. And when he looked round about them with anger, so Jesus Christ was mad, but he didn't sin, did he? So I guess we could use this one. All right, now, when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did what? Now, Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, didn't he? So it must have been God's will at this time for Jesus Christ to say this to this man. And he stretched it out, and his hand was what? Restored, whole as the other. So it was a restoration. He used to have it. It used to be good because it said it was restored. So at one time it must have been okay. Very simple. He restored it whole as the other. Look at how simple that was. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. He said that. So it must have been God's will that he say that then. How about Acts 9? Acts 9. This is simple stuff, really. But believing is required. Acts 9, and look at Acts 9 and verse 10. Acts 9, verse 10. Acts 9, verse 10. Okay, here it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus. What country is Damascus in today? It's all over the news. Syria, yes. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. Was he a reverend? Was he a TV evangelist? Probably not. Okay, but it says here he was a certain disciple. He was a disciple, a follower, a disciplined one. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision. Oh, what did Michael just teach? The Lord said to him. He saw it and he heard it in a vision and said, Ananias, Samuel. Ananias, and he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, get up, dude, and go unto the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of one Judas, for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Look, God spoke and told him by a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his what? Now, so Paul at this time was blind. But those of us who know God's word, did Paul see before? Sure he did. He was Saul and he was going around grabbing believers. He saw pretty well. You're a believer. He saw you when he grabbed them. So he saw. So then he was blind. And now God tells Ananias, who was a certain disciple, look, go over there and heal him. So, now you can read the rest of the record, and he gets his sight back. So that would be a what? A restoration. He had it, and then he lost it, and then he was healed, and he got it back. It's very simple, all right? Now, let's look at another one, a cure. A cure. Let's look at Luke chapter 9. So these are cool things in God's word, how God dealt with the people, with Jesus Christ, and the Christians in the first century church. Ananias wasn't Reverend so-and-so, wasn't a TV evangelist, wasn't this or that. He was a certain disciple, and he got revelation from God to do this for the Apostle Paul. Look at how neat that is and how cool it fits in with what Michael taught. Look at Luke chapter 9. So there were healings in the Bible, and the Christian people did it. Has God run out of power today? No. Luke chapter 9. Is this God's word? Sure is. Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. Luke chapter 9 and in verse 1. Who'd like to read a verse for us? But if you volunteer for this, you need to say it loud. Okay, Vernon, blast it out in the back there. Do you have it? Luke chapter 9 and in verse 1. Right. So the disciples back then had power over all devils and to cure diseases. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. So we're looking at a cure. A cure is when the cause is removed. The cause is removed and the symptoms go away. The cause is removed and the symptoms go away. Probably one of the best examples of that is a splinter. If you have a splinter in your hand, you take the little tweezers, or you ask your wife if you're married, or your boyfriend, or your girlfriend, or whatever, or somebody that you really trust, because they're going to take the little tweezers, and they're going to pull out that thing, and then the cause is removed, and then you get the gushy little white stuff in there. And then you get that out, and then we grossed out a little bit, some, okay? And then we kind of like it goes away. Why? Because the cause was removed. All right, now, look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. Mark 9, 14. It says, and when he came to his disciples, he, Jesus Christ, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. A dumb spirit. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, he foameth, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pines away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out, for they could not. Whoa. So the father has a problem. His son, he believes, has a devil spirit, a spirit. And Jesus Christ said here in verse 20, and he answered and said, hey, dummy, I don't believe in devil spirits. Did he say that? He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long should I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. So in this situation, this son had convulsions. And in this situation, this was caused by a spirit. Not all convulsions are caused by spirits. Absolutely not. But here's an example from the Bible of the cause in this situation. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came of him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. And what? Help us, Jesus, help me. And Jesus said unto him, dude, if you canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus put the responsibility back on the father of this boy because the boy at that time couldn't believe for himself. If we go to God or we go to a believer and we want help, we want deliverance, we need to believe, don't we? Believing is required. The greatest key to receiving anything from God is believing. If you want to speak in tongues, you need to believe that you can do it. If you want to be able to interpret tongues like you heard, you need to believe. Very simple. This is in the blue book, by the way. Some of us have read that one. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So, the responsibility, if we go and we want healing, is we need to believe. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore. So the spirit cried. Whose vocal cords did it use? The boy's. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And as he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is what? I saw it on a horror movie sometime. I know exactly what's going on. Some of you guys watch those movies and you think that that's what the spiritual world is like. If you choose to watch those movies, you shouldn't be affected by them. You should learn to go to God's word, because not everything you see on the horror movies that comes out is accurate. Does it say we have to be afraid of the devil? In The Exorcist, when Jesus Christ cast out the devil, where did the devil go? Into him. Some of you guys don't remember that movie. It went into him. What a bunch of religious garbage. Strike that. Okay, verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, the boy, and he did what? Arose. He was healed. He was healed by the power of God. Pretty neat. So the Father said, help us. And Jesus Christ said, if you can believe, if we want to manifest God's power, we need to believe. That's what I just read in the scriptures. I think you did too. Look at Matthew chapter 17. You know, we're not making this up. Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one. But we're not interested in opinions. We just want to read what the scriptures say. And that's what we're doing. So, in this record so far, we see that Jesus Christ put the responsibility to believe on that man. Now, look at Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 19. So remember now, these disciples couldn't cast out the spirit. So we'll start at verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus, this is the same record in another place. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was what? Cured from the same hour, from the very hour. This was a cure. According to the scriptures, the cause was removed. And in this case, the cause was not a splinter. It was a spirit that this boy had. A cure, and then the spirit was removed, and then you know, it was a cure. And he was whole from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Ooh. So in this situation, for a person to be delivered, the person going to a person, they need to do what? Believe. And if I'm going to pray or minister to a person, there has to be believing on that other person's part also. So believe. Now remember, Jesus Christ, he just gave them authority over spirits. But they had trouble in this situation believing. So, believing is required in this type of situation on two parts. It's required by the person that wants to be healed, and it's required the person operating the power of God, obviously, needs to believe. Look at how simple that is. Right there in the blue book, most of this, okay? So, now, maybe some of us have things and we haven't been healed yet and we really want to, okay? There's no disgrace in that because we're folks. Maybe sometimes our time hasn't come. And our time, God's ready all the time, isn't he? He's ready all the time. However, you know, sometimes we need to work with our brains. We need to bury our mind in the Word of God so that we can saturate our brains to the end that we really believe that something like this could happen. Now, most of us in here believe something just about absolutely stupid. And I say that with quotes around it. We believe that there was a man 2,000 years ago and he died. And guess what happened? He died. And he went to where? He went to heaven. We believe that a guy died and went to heaven. If we can believe that a guy died and went to heaven, we should be able to believe that God could heal me. If God could take Jesus Christ to heaven of all places, he could heal me. He could heal you. It's pretty neat, right? It says in the Bible, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in what? Even as thy soul prospers. All right, let's take a look at another one. And this next one here that we're going to look at, we're going to look at that healing is to supply that which is lacking. Look at, Acts 3. Supply that which is lacking. Sometimes in medicine, people get transplants. They get supplied something that might not have been there or was not functioning. If a doctor could do that, do you think God could do that? Sure. I mean, he's God. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and in verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Okay, here we go. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple. You know, all we're doing is reading God's word, aren't we? That's all we're doing here. Is it hot in here? Is it cold in here? Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you mad? Never mind. Okay, look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's what? Did he ever really walk well? No. He had something missing. He was born this way. There's a certain man lame from his mother's womb, which was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You know, Jesus Christ would have passed this guy all the time. And here was this guy who was lame from his mother's womb. And Jesus Christ would have gone into the temple and would have passed him all the time. But as far as we know, Jesus Christ didn't heal him. Why didn't he heal him? No revelation. There were times in the Bible where Jesus Christ healed everybody. There was times in the Bible, in John chapter 5, he healed one person, although everybody in this one area who was there, they were there supposedly to get healing. And here was a guy, he was out there every day. He was out there laid daily at the temple gate. Jesus Christ would have passed him by a lot, never healed him. Must not have been God's will then, because Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give something to you. in my own name, because I'm cool. No. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what? What if he was wrong? How embarrassing would have that been? Well, they would have been the laughingstock there in the subway. What's going on there? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones, they received something. They received what? He was born with something wrong, and here he receives something. It's supply something that was lacking. Verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and doing what? Okay, it's the same God today. The same God today. This was in the beginning of Christianity. It's the same God. They were Christians and so are we. So, healing is available. How about John chapter 18? Also, healing in the Bible is to reconcile. It's to reconcile. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Now, the context of this record is that Jesus Christ was going to be captured here. And Peter just had denied the Lord, not three times, but six times. And we can work that sometime if you want. But in John chapter 18, Peter then had just denied the Lord six times, and they were like going to capture Jesus Christ here in John chapter 18, verse 10. John 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a... So these dudes come over and they're going to capture him. Then Simon Peter, having a sword or a dagger, he draws it out. He draws out the dagger. He's right by Jesus Christ. And he smites the high priest's servant and cuts off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. There, Jesus Christ is right by Peter, and they're about ready to take him, and he takes out his dagger, and he slices this dude's ear right off. Maybe he had a machete. Did you see the movie Machete? It was nominated for 50 Academy Awards. And if you're from Ecuador, maybe he gave him a mate. What did he say? Matechazo, whatever it is. Machetazo. Well, I don't know if he had a machete, but I know it was like a dagger. But you know what happened? He took this thing out and the ear fell to the ground. Right, touch your ear now. Be sure it's still there. There you go. Wow. Now, look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 51. Luke 22 and verse 51. Luke 22 and in verse 51. This is what I want. So we actually want to start in verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. So we just did a little biblical research. And who was the one that cut off his ear? Peter, because we read that in a different place. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and what? He put it back. He put it back. That was a reconciliation. He put it back. So there's four types of record of healing in the Bible. One was a restoration. Just remember Restoration Hardware. Restoration. One was a cure. One was supplying something that was lacked. And this last one here was to reconcile. So to close, look at John chapter 14 and verse 12. You know, we talk about the mystery. The mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? That's part of it. Christ in you. Did Jesus Christ walk around and did he have power? Of course he did. And where is he now? He's in us. That means we have power. He's not here, but he's given us his name to use. We take the place of the absent Christ. We have all the power of God in Christ in us. And this is something that we want to learn more of so that we can operate it and so we can understand more and more. So going back to where we started, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. I didn't make this up. I didn't write the book. I didn't die for you, quote unquote. I've heard that before. You know what? But what we just covered in God's Word, all we did was read it. How far below par the Christian church has lived because of what is in here. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What power the church had if they only knew it. So we need to learn more about these things in our life so that we can walk, so that we can manifest, so that we can bring deliverance not only to ourselves but to others in the body of Christ as we walk with the power of God. It's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus Christ said, the works that I do shall ye do also. Father, thank you for this wonderful word. Thank you for all the wonderful power you've put in us. Thanks for the great grace in our lives. Through Christ Jesus. Amen.